WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.
This is WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Whether you're a child, teen, young adult, or just young at heart, we hope to show you how amazing classical music is. You probably listen to classical music all the time. It's everywhere. In your favorite cartoons, TV shows, movies, video games, and so much more. During this show, you will enjoy lots and lots of wonderful classical music. Now, let's join our hosts, Jamie and Pamela, as they get ready to take you on a musical journey into the world of classical music. Oh, we better go. I hear the orchestra getting ready for today's show.
Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, Jamie.
Spring is definitely here.
I think that summer is almost here.
I love summertime.
Me too. It means the 4th of July and barbecues.
And the beach and baseball games.
I didn't know that you liked baseball, Jamie.
I love baseball.
Well then, today's program is for you. We have a special presentation of Casey at the Bat. Do you know that story? It's a story about baseball that's been set to music.
Oh boy. But before we start, we need to thank our sponsors.
Of course. I'd like to thank the Carter Family Charitable Trust for their generous support of the inaugural season of Newport Music Festival's Education and Outreach. And this week, a special thank you to Craig and Kari Shapiro.
So let's get started.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, with but one inning left to play.
Now batting, number 10, the left fielder, Cooney.
And so, when Cooney died at first...
Now batting, number 12, the first baseman, Barrows!
And Barrows did the same. A sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could but get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did also Jimmy Blake, and the former was a pudding, and the latter was a fake. So upon that stricken multitude, grim melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey's getting to the bat. But Flynn let fly a single to the wonderment of all. And Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted and they saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe on second and Flynn a hugging third.
Casey, 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 Mighty Casey.
Then from the gladdened multitude went up a joyous yell. It bounded from the mountaintop and rattled in the dell. It struck upon the hillside and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing and a smile on Casey's face. And when, responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat, no stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. Then, while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance gleamed in Casey's eye. A sneer curled Casey's lip. And now, the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey.
"Strike one!"
the umpire said. From the benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of the storm waves on a stern and distant shore.
"Kill him! Kill the umpire!"
shouted someone from the stand. And it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the spheroid flew. But Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said,
"Strike two!"
"Fraud!" cried the maddened thousands, and the echo answered, "Fraud!" But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain, and they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer is gone from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball. And now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
I love this.
Are you ready to get up and move?
Now, would you like to have some fun? Stand up. Get ready to march. Here's your tempo. Here we go.
I love brass bands.
Then, Jamie, you want to make sure that you come to the Newport Music Festival's free 4th of July concert. We have a brass band right there at King Park. It starts at 7:30 in Newport, right on the water at King Park, and you can hear the Alliance Brass Concert. Bring a blanket, bring your family, bring some food. What a wonderful evening.
Wow, I'll definitely be there for that.
Wonderful. But now, Jamie, it's time to calm down just a tiny bit. Sometimes we do not need a narrator to understand a piece of music.
How come?
Because the music can tell the story through instruments.
Tell me more.
In this next piece, there is a bunny rabbit.
And?
And you can hear the rabbit frolicking around, and then something happens, and you hear him running away.
What happens to the bunny?
Let's listen and find out.
Okay, baseball and bunnies? What's next?
Actually, a wonderful tale that many of our listeners know. There's actually a bunny in this one, too. The tortoise and the hare.
I know this story.
But you probably haven't heard it like this before.
Once upon a time, there lived a hare. He was tall and handsome, with elegant long ears, and a splendid coat. But what he was most proud of were his powerful legs. They were long, and they were fast. And, as he would tell you himself, they were the fastest legs in the whole forest, the fastest legs in the whole country, and the whole world, and perhaps even in the entire galaxy. As you can see, he was exceedingly proud of his speedy lower extremities. Now, living in the forest, there were many wonderful animals. Rabbits, chipmunks, mice, beavers, badgers, muskrats, woodchucks, stoats, porcupines, skunks, and foxes. Most of them had been very well brought up. They had been taught that it was impolite to brag. And quite frankly, while they had to admit that most of what Mr. Hare had to say about his legs was true, they were very tired of hearing all about it. Oh, Mrs. Chipmunk, I just ran all the way to town and back in less time than it would have taken a professional marathon runner of comparable age and size. I've computed all the calculations. Would you like to see them? Asked the eager hare. No, thank you, Mr. Hare. I have to finish my washing, dear, she replied. Yesterday I jumped over the creek at Swallow's Nest. The river was swollen to the highest point it has been in 2 decades. Here, I've cut a clipping out of the newspaper. Would you like to read how remarkable my jump was, Mr. Badger? No, thanks. I'm busy reading the sports section at the moment, Mr. Hare, replied Badger. Would you like to play hopscotch with us, Mr. Hare? Asked the six tiny porcupines. Oh, no, my dears, answered Hare. You just don't understand. Someone with legs like mine, million-dollar legs, just doesn't play games with small animals. These are competition legs. These are the legs of a champion. In fact, I'll have you know, I've decided that what this forest needs is to have a marathon. I will invite everyone from miles around to come and compete. I will invite the press. Then I will win the grand prize and become exceedingly famous. I will become the local hero and probably a national tourist attraction. Animals will come from miles around to see me and my powerful swift legs. So, what do you think? Great idea, hmm? So, Hare organized the marathon and invited all the animals to come and compete, or just to watch him win. But then, a terrible thing happened. No one wanted to race against Hare. All of the animals in the valley and forest felt embarrassed. Imagine a race and no one competing. What would they do? They asked and they begged and they cajoled and even offered gifts. But no one wanted to race against Hare. And then a most remarkable thing happened. Tortoise took one step forward and said,
I will race. I will race against Hare.
But you can't, they all cried. You will lose. You'll make a fool of yourself. There's no need for you to do this to yourself.
But someone must race, and I am offering my services, said Tortoise modestly.
And that is how the race between the tortoise and the hare began. Tortoise had been working out ever since that fateful day when he had volunteered to race. And, as you might expect, Hare had been jumping across Swallow's Nest several times a day and offering interviews to the press. I, of course, do not have to think about such trivial matters as winning or losing. The race is in my back pocket. So I'm concentrating on my style and my technique, record-setting long jumps, awe-inspiring high jumps. Poor old Tortoise. His major concern is just making it to the starting line. To think that he, of all the animals, decided to represent them in this race leaves one quite speechless. Tut tut. But better slow competition than no competition. Hare went on and on, boasting and bragging, and showing off his flashy new running shoes. And Tortoise kept on working out. A short walk here. And a short walk there. First to chipmunks, then to porcupines. Finally, he made it all the way to skunks and foxes. But it was slow going. He huffed and he puffed. And he soaked his sore and blistered feet.
I do not expect to win, but I do plan to make a respectable showing, he confided
to the stoats one evening as he collapsed into his easy chair.
I really shall be very happy when this is all over, and I can go back to reading and doing crossword puzzles. Even a little quiet, slow work in the garden would be nice. But mustn't think of that now. Ooh. Ah. My feet do hurt, but it will all be over soon.
Finally, the day of the race came. The sun was pouring over the horizon, and the air was cool. Tortoise had a band-aid on each of his toes, and Hare had on yet another pair of running shoes. Of course, I have an advantage, Hare began with the press. Just look at my legs. They're million-dollar legs. They're long and fast, probably the fastest in the whole. Suddenly, Tortoise appeared, and all of the reporters turned to him. Any comment, Mr. Tortoise, about this very unusual race?
No, sirs, said Tortoise calmly.
Do you honestly think that there's any chance that you might win, Mr. Tortoise? They all clamored.
By all laws of probability, my dear fellows, I would have to say no.
Tortoise shook his head.
But we tortoises are slow and steady. We give it the good fight.
Hare was holding his sides laughing. Ha ha ha! I thought that old slow and steady stuff went out years ago. Move up with the times, Mr. Tortoise. Are you certain that you still wish to subject yourself to this almost preordained humiliation?
I said what I meant. I meant what I said. I will race, declared Tortoise.
Hare's publicity campaign was so successful that even the pretzel vendor of Paris arrived at the starting line, selling his delicious pretzels and singing his famous song. I love selling pretzels on the Champs-Élysées. I always serve them hot 'cause people like them that way. From Place de la Concorde to the Arc de Triomphe, when I'm selling pretzels, people never seem to get enough. Every Sunday afternoon, I'm at the Étoile. All my US customers say, gee, these are swell. When I'm selling pretzels on the Champs-Élysées, c'est le pied, c'est le pied, c'est le pied.
The trumpets sounded, and they were off. Hare in a cloud of dust, Tortoise moving slowly down the road. Within sight of the starting line, Hare had done 3 cartwheels, 2 flips, and 1 long jump across the creek. Tortoise had barely made it to the bridge, but on he went. Go on, Tortoise, cried Skunk. You can do it, cried the stoats. Hare was far out of view, but all of the animals continued to cheer Tortoise on. Don't worry, we will be at the next house with water. Anything you need, we will have it ready for you. Meanwhile, Hare had crossed the second bridge at Pig's Crossing, rounded Mulberry Hill, and was moving on toward Mrs. Chipmunk's house. Hare really wasn't tired, but he was tired of running with no one to brag to. He had also started out at a flying pace. Soon he was thinking, I'm getting just a bit hungry. Think the old stomach could use a little pick-me-up. Fortunately, he had just arrived at Beaver Creek, where Mrs. Beaver had recently opened a little restaurant with red and white checkered tablecloths in the French bistro style.
Bonjour, Monsieur Air, she cried. You are so far ahead in the race. Would you not like to try some of my délicieuse French onion soup? It will only take a petit moment. My dear madam, I know that I probably should not. But it smells so delicious that I think I shall, Hare answered as he sat down at a small table. And perhaps a glass of good French red wine? Then Hare finished the soup and drank the wine.
Splendide! Simply magnifique! Said Hare, waving his handkerchief, and off he went.
Meanwhile, Tortoise continued on.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tortoise counted every step.
Pig's Crossing, Mulberry Hill, Mrs. Chipmunk's. Everyone cheered and shouted optimistically. Hare wasn't here so very long ago. Keep going, Tortoise. Slow and steady wins the race.
Thank you, Tortoise puffed. You are all being most kind.
Okay, what happens in the race?
Jamie, we're going to listen again and you'll find out who wins.
Okay, here we go.
Of course, Hare by this time had almost reached the finish line. The last landmark on the course was the bridge at Swallow's Nest. Swallow's Nest? But where are the photographers my agent invited? Cried Hare. This is the place for my most spectacular jump. This would be the shot of the race. Why are they not here? Perhaps they are down there by that silly old bridge. I'll just run down and tell them to come up here. This is where I plan to cross Swallow's Nest with a flying leap in a single bound and win the race. So Hare bounded down to the little bridge. But no one was there. He raced back to the wide gully at Swallow's Nest. Still, no one was there. I guess I've been too fast. I must be very early. I'll just lie down here and wait for them to come. They should be here shortly, and a quick 10-minute nap would be so nice after that delicious lunch. I expect they'll wake me up. So Hare lay down at the edge of Swallow's Nest in the lovely spring grass. And soon, he was sound asleep. He dreamt about the photographers and his magnificent jump. He dreamt about his picture on the front page of the local newspaper. He dreamt of a victory party with French onion soup and good French wine. And Hare slept on and on.
1, 2, 3, 4. No, thank you, Mrs. Chipmunk. A little water, and I must continue on. No, thank you, Mr. Stoat.
just a cool towel for my brow, and I must be on my way. No, thank you, Mrs. Beaver. Just a little water. I can't rest yet. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tortoise continued along the prescribed course. One, two, three, four. Hare slept on. The sun was beginning to set, and the sky was turning orange as Tortoise approached the little old bridge at Swallow's Nest. Flash, flash, pop, flash, went the cameras as Tortoise, head down and puffing, crossed the bridge. Any comment, Mr. Tortoise? Shouted all the reporters.
One, two, three, four. 1, 2, 3, 4, mumbled Tortoise.
Then the finish line came into view.
Four, three, two, one. 4, 3, 2, 1. I began the race, and now it's done.
Tortoise crossed the finish line.
4, 3, 2, 1.
No, no! Shouted all the animals.
4, 3, 2, 1. Tortoise is the one who won!
Hare suddenly woke up. He couldn't believe his ears. 4, 3, 2, 1. Tortoise is the one who won! Hare took a wild flying leap. He crossed the bridge at Swallow's Nest and raced to the finish line. There's been a terrible mistake. I've been asleep for hours just on the other side of the finish line. I'm the fastest. I should have won, Hare complained.
Slow and steady may be a bit old-fashioned, but it still works.
Okay, Pamela, we have a few more minutes.
Okay, Jamie. I want to make sure that everyone knows about the Newport Music Festival's family-friendly free concerts this summer on Tuesday, July 9th and Tuesday, July 16th at Newport Art Museum, right on the lawn. Bring your family and a blanket and listen to an evening of music. And what's really fun is on Tuesday, July 16th, we're performing the entire Carnival of the Animals with like 20-piece ensemble.
Wow. Can we play a little bit of that music to end the show?
That would be perfect. And staying on our bunny theme, there's animals in this, of course, because it's the Carnival of the Animals. So before we go, let me thank our sponsors. Again, thank you so much to the Carter Family Charitable Trust and Craig and Kari Shapiro.
See you next time, everyone.
Wow, that was so fun. I wonder what we'll hear next time. Thank you for listening to WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Gotta go. The concert hall doors are about to close. See you next time.
WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.